Hey, good morning, ladies and gentlemen. We're going to go ahead and begin the hearing in NG09-006. This is our consideration of the Energy Independence and Security Act of 2007. We're a little bit after 11 o'clock, and it's November 30th. This was the time and the place that was noticed for this meeting. I'm Dusty Johnson. I'm serving as the commission chairman, and Commissioner Steve Kolbeck and Gary Hansen are also present. I'll preside over this hearing. The issue at this hearing is whether or not the commission should implement the energy efficiency and rate design standards for natural gas. All parties have the right to be present and to be represented by an attorney. All persons testifying will be sworn in and are subject to cross-examination by the parties. The commission's final decision may be appealed by the parties to the state circuit court and the state supreme court. Rolaine Weiss, the commission's counsel, will act as hearing examiner and will conduct the hearing subject to the commission's oversight. She will provide recommended rulings on procedural and evidentiary matters, and we may overrule her preliminary rulings throughout the hearing. If not overruled, her decisions will stand. I believe, aside from staff, we do have all three natural gas LDCs have been granted party status. And before turning it over to Ms. Weiss, I will check with Commissioners Hansen and Kolbeck to see if they have anything to add. With that, Ms. Weiss, take it away.
First, we'll take appearances of the parties. Staff?
This is Kara Semler for staff. Also here today are John Thurber and Brian Rounds.
Thank you. Northwestern?
Pam Bonru, Director of Government and Regulatory Affairs for South Dakota, Nebraska with Northwestern Energy.
MDU. Is anyone from MDU present? Mid-American?
Yes, appearing on behalf of Mid-American Energy, Jennifer Moore, and with me are Naomi Chihura and Tim Tessier.
Thank you. Before we get started, I would like to know if anybody would object to putting the comments in as exhibits. I would suggest that we have Northwestern comments as Exhibit 1, Mid-American comments Exhibit 2, MDU comments Exhibit 3, and staff's testimony Exhibit 4. Does anyone object to that? If not, they will be admitted. At this time, I think we'll begin with the testimony. Staff, would you like to go first?
Staff does not have any amendments or changes to the testimony it submitted and would stand by for any commissioner questions.
Any questions from commissioners?
If I could, Ms. Weist. Questions from Mr. Thurber. I agreed with everything you wrote, Mr. Thurber. I certainly don't think... And I'm going to set aside the rate design stuff because that, to me, clearly is a little too far right now. But I think as far as the energy efficiency stuff, in general, prioritizing that as a resource in companies' planning processes, I don't know if that's necessary because I think a lot of that's going on already. Is there any unintended consequence that maybe I wouldn't be aware of? And I'll certainly ask the companies the same thing, but from a regulatory perspective, any thoughts?
I defer that to Mr. Rounds. That was his policy.
Well, I'll go ahead and ask Mr. Rounds. There wasn't any testimony from him, so I didn't know if he'd be sworn as a witness. And certainly Mr. Rounds happy to hear what you've got to say. Ms. Weiss, do we want to handle this a little bit differently? Can I just ask questions? I mean, neither Mr. Thurber nor Mr. Rounds were sworn. Is that a concern, a problem?
I think we can. We did swear people in at the last one, so I think we can swear them in at this one, if you would like to do it.
Raise your right hand, please. Do you solemnly swear the testimony you're about to give will be the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth, so help you God?
I do. Thanks, Mr. Thurber, for letting me know the right person to talk to. Mr. Rounds, any thoughts?
I guess I would say that, yes, those those companies are putting that into their planning. I mean, are you just asking for kind of a comment on your...
Let me rephrase. I wonder, is there some value in the South Dakota Public Utilities Commission going officially on record, not just through, you know, that docket or this docket, but rather on the policy level, saying we're not going to require you to do a state-specific IRP, but we're going to go on record as saying that you must have energy efficiency as a part of your planning processes and that it must be a priority resource. So two questions. A, is there value to that? And B, is there some downside or unintended consequence that I'm not thinking of?
Yes, there's value to that. Although we've already done that in an informal process, kind of as we talked about this in the other, when we handled the electric parts of this, the reason there's no testimony for me is because, you know, from an integrated resources planning view, it doesn't really apply to natural gas programs. So that's what I would say.
So does staff have, I didn't see anything filed that staff has a recommendation on sort of that first standard that the Act put out. Anything you want to add?
No, just that we don't really see how it applies. So that's why there's no recommendation.
Thank you.
Any questions?
Thank you, Ms. Weiss. Mr. Thurber, on the fourth, well, I'm not sure how your testimony is, I'm looking at page four, and you probably don't need to look at it. I'll read it to you. On the question, what is your recommendation in regards to straight fixed variable pricing? And you stated, I do not recommend that the commission adopt straight fixed variable pricing to remove the throughput incentive. Expressing a tad bit of ignorance here on my part, I suspect, but it seems that you qualified your statement by saying you don't recommend it to remove the throughput incentive. Is there a time that you do recommend it?
Currently,
he's not been sworn. I don't know.
Go ahead. Raise your right hand, please. Do you solemnly swear the testimony you're about to give will be the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth, so help you God?
I do. Currently, for rate design purposes, a lot of our utilities have declining block structures, and that is a throughput incentive that they have, is because when sales are increased, utilities are able to make more profit, and likewise when they decrease, they lose earnings. I really didn't mean to qualify that, but the essence behind the policy is looking at different rate design options that would remove the throughput incentive.
All right. Thank you. And on page six, midway through there was a question on your recommendation, and you stated that an incentive should be provided to compensate utilities for the effect these programs have on earnings. Do you have suggestions on what those incentives should be?
The commission has so far adopted two different incentives, one being a shared savings incentive, and the most recent plan, the commission adopted them, a rate of return based on the program expenditures. I don't necessarily have a recommendation in terms of which incentive would be the right one going forward. I think when we review some of the results from the energy efficiency plans, we can modify the incentive if needed to accomplish greater levels of energy efficiency.
Thank you. Thank you, Ms. Reese.
Any other questions?
Yes, Mr. Thurber, it seems in reading your testimony, I got out of it that straight fixed variable pricing could lead to excessive charges on customers. Is that a correct understanding?
It's a concern for low usage customers. If we bring everybody under a rate schedule to the same level of fixed charge, there is a concern for intra-class subsidies in terms of the different, because there is the potential that under the rate schedule there is not a strict homogeneous grouping of customers.
So that makes more sense as you recommend that we use other energy efficiency investments. Would that give the commission more control to make sure that all customers are treated fairly rather than just strictly using the straight fixed variable pricing method that's suggested in the proposal?
I believe the preferred method for adopting energy efficiency into rate design is through a surcharge at this point in time. We can review the results. We can track the costs. We can modify the plan without adjusting the rate design that has been in place for a number of years. So as these plans grow and mature, we can modify them as you see fit.
Thank you.
So, Mr. Thurber, did you have an opportunity to review Northwestern's comments? I mean, I guess that's Exhibit 1 now.
Yes.
Ms. Bonrude did, I think, a good job on page 2 of her letter of outlining some incentives that may be used to encourage utilities to promote energy efficiency. I mean, in your professional opinion, are those, what is that, 6? Are those 6 incentives, some of which have been used by this commission, are they sufficient to ensure that quality energy efficiency programs are deployed, rendering the kind of rate design changes envisioned by the federal act unnecessary?
As far as the, are you referring to letters A through F on?
Yes, that's right. Okay.
Those incentives talk in broad terms and in terms of policy options. I would like to take a look specifically at Northwestern's proposal on a case-by-case basis before offering an opinion.
Okay, I'll ask a more general question then, and I think you answered it in your testimony. But, I mean, does the commission now have the tools available at its disposal to make sure that proper energy efficiency programs are deployed by companies?
I believe they do. I believe we do. Through the rider, there is a level of flexibility to determine what incentive the commission wants to provide the utility company for energy efficiency investments, for the promotion of energy efficiency investments. I think that's all the flexibility needed for the commission.
And Commissioner Colbeck, I think, had a good question. I'll piggyback on it. I mean, when you start, and some states have done it, and perhaps even successfully, but when you start putting all of the fixed costs into a monthly customer charge and having the volumetric rate only include the variable costs or the fuel costs, in general, who are the winners, who are the perceived winners and losers of that change?
I believe that the utility is sufficiently compensated when straight fixed variable pricing goes into effect. Straight fixed variable pricing ensures revenue recovery because it's less dependent on sales. And there is less incentive on the consumer side to invest in energy efficiency because the actual cost for the volumetric portion of the bill decreases. So an energy efficiency investment is less beneficial to the consumer, whereas the benefit to the utility company is ensuring revenue recovery is significant.
Is it going too far to say that straight fixed variable pricing in fact shifts some of the risk from the LDC to the customers?
Yes, I believe so. And the states that have adopted straight fixed variable pricing.
I'm sorry, Mr. Thurber, do you believe that's, I asked the question in a dumb way, and I asked, do you think it's going too far to say that? I'll reword, is it accurate to say that that shifts some of the risk?
Yes, that is accurate.
And I interrupted your answer. If you want to finish it, go ahead.
I was just going to add that the states that have adopted straight fixed variable pricing have reduced the return on equity granted to the utility companies.
In the neighborhood of, just in general terms?
I'm referring to North Dakota, but I believe it was between 25 and 50 basis points.
And then, in general, again, speaking in generalities, with you know, the SFV approach, smaller users have a tendency to feel as though that rate design injures them more than traditional rate designs.
Yes, the increases, the burden of the increase is shouldered more by the low income, the low usage customers.
And just the reliance on SFV in itself does not encourage energy efficiency, is that right?
That is correct.
So typically in states that have gone to that model have also needed to use some incentive mechanisms to get energy efficiency programs deployed. Is that accurate?
Yes, typically the straight, if a commission determines they want to go with a straight fixed variable rate design, they pair that with an aggressive energy efficiency plan and also reduce the return on equity.
Okay, thank you very much.
Any other questions? I had a question for Mr. Rounds. I believe the commission could adopt modified standards in looking at Part A of energy efficiency. I mean, do you see any particular problem with the commission adopting that part, which it just says that each natural gas utility shall integrate energy efficiency resources into the plans and planning processes of that utility?
I don't see a problem with that.
And even for Part B, if you put in the words cost-effective, could that be something that the utilities could strive for? I understand that we don't necessarily adopt or review IRPs, even though we do have 10-year plans, but this would be the natural gas utility would have to, you know, in their own plans and processes, would have to establish that as a priority resource. Would that be a concern?
I would just, you know, resubmit that I don't see how it applies in natural gas planning, because when you're talking about resource planning for electric utilities, you're talking about all the different fuels that go into generating electricity. And when you're talking about natural gas, you have it comes out of a well and it comes through pipes. It's just a question of usage. So, I mean, if they need to plan, maybe they're going to use less next year because of energy efficiency programs, it just misses the point as far as the purpose.
Okay. And I guess the same question, Mr. Thurber. You know, for Part A, it just says the rates allowed to be charged shall align utility incentives with the deployment of cost-effective energy efficiency. Is that in itself a problem for the commission to have as a general policy?
No, I don't think it's a problem as a general policy.
Okay, thank you. Any other questions?
I don't, Mr. Rounds, I don't know that I'm quite yet tracking your answer to Ms. Wee's question about energy efficiency Part B. Why do you think that doesn't align well or doesn't work?
Well, I don't have Part B in front of me, but I'm assuming we're talking about energy efficiency in the planning.
Yeah, adopt policies that establish energy efficiency as a priority resource in the plans and planning processes of the natural gas utility.
Right, so when we're talking about resource plans, I mean, natural gas utilities don't do the same type of resource planning as electric utilities. And I thought this was sort of like a copy and paste from the electric utility section. And it just, I mean, can you give me an example how that would apply to their planning?
Yeah, and I do understand that the process is very different. I mean, they don't need to go out and build a power plant, for instance, but certainly they do need to acquire additional. I mean, they're projecting out anticipated load now with natural gas that in some cases has been a declining intensity per household. But, you know, as the economy grows, they need to go out and get more product. It seems to me that rather than purchasing more product or anticipating the need to purchase more product in year three, that they would, in years 1, 2, and 3, institute energy efficiency programs and policies that may render that purchase additional purchase unnecessary in year 3.
That makes sense.
And I do suspect that that is going on in all three of the intervenors' companies already. I just also, I mean, I wonder about some value in having the commission state in a loud voice that that's a value not just of those companies but also of the commission. I guess that's a statement. So thanks for the latitude, Ms. Wiest.
Any other questions? Any of the parties have any questions, Ms. Staff? If not, thank you. Let's go next to Northwestern.
Sorry. Raise your right hand, please. Do you solemnly swear the testimony you're about to give will be the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth to help you, God?
I do.
Go ahead.
Oh, we really don't have any additional comments to provide at this time other than what's been submitted as our testimony thus far with our filing. So we'll just stand by for questions.
Why not? State your name and
oh, I'm sorry.
Is it Pam, for the record? I'm sorry.
Pam Bonrud, Director of Government and Regulatory Affairs for South Dakota and Nebraska and Northwestern Energy.
Okay, thank you. Any questions, Commissioner? I'm sorry, I usually go to Stafford.
No questions.
Any other parties have any questions? If not, Commissioners?
Ms. Weiss, I'm sorry, Ms. Bonrud, you note in the second paragraph of Exhibit 1, your letter, that Northwestern Energy does not believe the commission needs to adopt policies or rules to establish, and then this is where I'm paying more attention, energy efficiency as a priority resource for natural gas utilities through an integrated resource planning process. I agree with that. I wonder if we strike that last phrase, through an IRP process. I mean, if the commission adopted policies and rules to establish energy efficiency as a priority resource, period, does Northwestern have concerns with that in the same way that it did with the original sentence?
I don't believe we necessarily would, although I think I would come back to the point that We are doing this already, so I guess a part of me is wondering why we would need to go through a formal policy adoption process, spend the resources and so forth to do that when that is a part of what we do as standard business already with the company as we look at our future natural gas needs in this particular instance. And as you're aware, we have submitted a energy efficiency plan for the commission's review, which is currently underway. And so we believe that that's just part of what we do as a company.
I'll provide some insight, and then on my way to providing insight, I'll have a question for you. I agree. I mean, it does appear to me that all three companies currently doing natural gas business in South Dakota do have a commitment to energy efficiency. On the electric side, it seems as though that commitment, both on the commission side and on the load-serving entity side, has varied a little bit based on the price of energy. I mean, that's typical market economics. When energy is cheap, consumers and utilities and regulatory commissions have less of an interest. Is there any value in making a formal statement that energy efficiency will be a value of this commission regardless of market forces and temporary price fluctuations?
Well, I believe that the future of the utility world, the utility industry, energy efficiency is here to stay. It is a priority piece of what we do every day, whether it be electric or natural gas. We recognize the benefits regardless of what the price may be for energy resources. We know that the better we are able to use our existing resources in the long run, the better able we're to serve our customers by keeping our rates low and competitive.
I think that's well put. I mean, I wonder if we would have... if in the late 1970s, early 1980s, if many folks weren't having the same conversation, energy efficiency is just a national priority and it's the way we're always going to do business. And you just sometimes wonder if that heat passes. Ms. Wiest had laid out for Mr. Rounds, what if the commission adopted under energy efficiency, the energy efficiency standard A and B in some revised form. Would you have any guidance for the commission into what revisions you think we should really take a look at if we were going to adopt this standard? I mean, things to make it more friendly to both ratepayers and LDCs?
Well, obviously that would be a process that we would like to engage in with the commission and remain a part of. I think the key will be is to, if a policy were to be developed, is to keep some flexibility in that policy so that we're able to adapt as technology changes, changes in federal legislation, as we are all well aware of right now, and how that may drive our industry. So I think the key will be is to maintain enough flexibility so that the utilities are able to respond in an appropriate fashion and still maintain reasonable costs for our customers and meet the commission's desire, our customers' desire, and our desire to have effective energy efficiency programs.
Thanks very much.
Any other questions? Thank you.
Thank you.
I will go to MidAmerican.
Yeah. Hi, this is Jennifer Moore with MidAmerican Energy.
Just one moment. Could you swear in?
And you'll be providing the testimony, Ms. Moore? Or responding to any questions?
Yes.
Okay, great. Could you please raise your right hand? Do you solemnly swear that the testimony you're about to give is the whole truth and nothing but the truth, so help you God?
Yes, I do.
Okay, thank you.
Go ahead, Ms. Moore.
MidAmerican doesn't have any changes or amendments, and we'll be happy to answer any questions that the commissioners may have in regards to our comments.
Thank you. Staff, do you have any questions?
No.
Any other party have any questions? commissioners.
Ms. Moore, I'll just, you did you hear the line of questioning that we had for Mr. Rounds and Ms. Bonrud?
Yes, Mr. Chairman.
Do you have any comments for that same line of questioning?
No, I think in general we do agree with Ms. Bonrud's comments. We're not sure a formal IRP process for the natural gas is necessary, but as a general policy to promote energy efficiency, obviously with our energy efficiency plans in South Dakota, we support that. But, you know, with the same kind of limitations as Ms. Bonrud expressed, that, you know, whether a formal policy needs to be adopted or not, we're not sure, since the commission has already acted in encouraging the company to, you know, offer energy efficiency programs.
In the what is now Exhibit 2, Mid-America talked about that there is some value in a process of moving toward having a fixed cost contain all of the fixed charges. Does Mid-America have that rate design in place in any of its other jurisdictions?
No, we do not.
Is there a process underway in any of your jurisdictions to move toward that end goal?
We currently do have a rate case in Illinois where we have put forward that model, and it looks like the Illinois Commerce Commission has not issued a order yet and won't until about May, but the Illinois Commerce Commission staff has not objected in their testimony to recovering some of those fixed costs in the base rates.
So a greater proportion than is done currently?
Correct.
Okay. Can you give me an order of magnitude? I don't need exact numbers. I know North Dakota a few years ago went to, essentially they went to recovering all those fixed costs in a monthly charge. And what I don't have a good feel for is the landscape of how many other folks are moving in that direction or how close they are to that goal.
Speaking off the cuff without really looking at it, we may have asked for close to 80, so a good amount of those fixed charges.
Okay, great. Thanks very much, Ms. Moore.
But that's just Illinois.
Yes, absolutely. Great. Thank you.
So the other questions? If not, thank you. Okay. Thank you, Ms. Moore. I believe since MDU is not here, that would cover all of the parties who have submitted comments. Is there anything else to come before the commission?
A question, Ms. Wiesman. Kind of walk me through, of course, we've done all this before, primarily on the electric side, but the 05 Act had a lot of these purpose standards we've adopted, and then in 07. But walk me through the process. If the commission decided that it wanted to adapt some part or some amended part of either of these two standards, where do we go?
Goal was to have this, both this docket and the electric docket on the next commission meeting agenda. And I believe at that meeting you would adopt the standard or a form of the standard or decline to adopt the standards in their entirety. Because we do have a deadline on this, not for all of them, but we just decided that we wanted to do all of them in order to meet the deadline that is applicable to some of these standards, and that was by December 19th.
I think in the 08 legislative session, there was some wording change to give the commission some limited rulemaking authority regarding standards like this. Do you recollect how broad that wording is? If the commission were to adopt one or more of these standards, does it have the ability to promulgate rules?
Yes. We have put that into the statutes, that we have the ability to promulgate rules. The question would be whether the commission wanted to adopt the, standard as just a general policy, and if it felt the need to further put that into some sort of more specific rules, or if it wanted to just go with a general policy. We adopted the standard as a general policy, And so that would be up to the commissioners. But, yes, we could go into, if you wanted more specific details through a rulemaking, we could then open up a rulemaking by adopting a standard or a form of the standard and stating the next step would be to go into a rulemaking.
Well, and I don't see a lot. I don't see a lot here that would require detailed rules, certainly. I mean, even if the commission were to adopt some portions of these. I just know that legally it is difficult to have policy contained only in orders or only in general policy statements as opposed to codified in rule or in statute, where it's a little bit easier for people 20 years down the road to track it down.
Yes, that is true. And that's what happened. You know, this is the procedure we followed with our interconnection standards and our rules where we did adopt the standard, and then we went into a very detailed rulemaking and came up with pages of rules for that.
It's tough enough to find the history of rules without also having to dig through lots and lots of orders, I suppose. So.
Exactly.
Okay, great. Thank you.
Actually, for you again, Ms. Weiss, is there anything in the testimony, I mean, reading through like Northwestern and Mid-Americans, they assert that some of this is already under the commission's authority. Is there any of that that you disagreed with in their testimonies?
No, I didn't disagree that the commission can do this in their existing authority. The question, I guess, in my mind is there a reason to not adopt the standard? Even if it's the commission's, you know, a policy within the context of individual dockets, is there a reason that it couldn't be adopted as an overall, overarching general policy for the commission to adopt formally?
Well, and I mean, I'll feel more comfortable saying this. I mean, this. My line of questioning, I'm sure, has led people to understand that I sort of am interested in adopting something a little more formal. But I mean, I don't want it to be seen, or rather, I should acknowledge that, frankly, some of these utilities have been, you know, leaders in this energy efficiency area. I mean, I don't want to make it seem as though we're dragging them to the river to drink. MDU. I mean, I don't know how many years ago that is now, maybe 4 years ago or 5 years ago, proposed really the first of this generation of energy efficiency dockets. I mean, frankly, that predated the commission's interest in the South Dakota Energy Smart Initiative or in us urging utilities to bring forth energy efficiency programs. Certainly Northwestern has a docket pending that I think has a lot of good components. And Mid-American, I mean, has a program that's been approved in this state and frankly, has been a real leader in some of their other jurisdictions. So it's not that they're not doing the things on energy efficiency, and I wouldn't want to leave anybody to believe that I think they aren't. So thanks.
Would there be anything to prevent the commission in future years from adopting any of these measures if we felt it was necessary at that time?
I think in any order that comes out prior to or by December 19th, the commission could state at this time we're not adopting these standards, but could leave it open, I would assume.
I would assume that this commission does not have the authority to bind future commissions, that a future commission...
Right, a future commission could determine that it would not want to follow some policy, but, you know, just like a future commission could repeal all our rules if they so desire.
Exactly. I asked that question because I am inclined not to adopt measures unless I feel they're necessary to adopt, and just wanted to make sure.
Yeah. Anything else?
If I could, except for policy option label B, the first point, separating fixed cost revenue recovery from the volume of transportation or sales service, I think that's very specific. I think everything else in A and B are very general. And the problem I have with adoption of this is not necessarily disagreement with everything else, but frankly, these seem to have been a standard operating procedure of the staff over the past few years, and as well as the utilities. I know staff has been involved with negotiations with the utilities on both electric and natural gas energy efficiency matters, and it strikes me that this entire portion of the Act you know, may have been a balancing idea to go along with the electric, where I think, you know, there were a number of new and important issues involved in electric that perhaps, I think as Brian said, they don't necessarily fit with gas, but it appeared to me that Congress just didn't want to overlook the gas portion of the business. And I think I'm very comfortable with not making statements now or recommending that to the commission, simply because I know these three commissioners, and I know, I think I understand our law, and I think they like to retain flexibility. Nonetheless, they are involved in all elements of this, other than B, I guess I, subparagraph I. And that's a specific rate design from what I see, and frankly, I don't know if it really should have been part of this whole procedure. Nonetheless, I think I agree with staff and utilities that this should be ongoing standard operating procedure from here on out for all of us, and it's probably not of a lot of value to start listing policies and making rules for what you will be doing through orders and testimony and company filings on a routine, I'm not going to say daily basis, but an ongoing basis. I expect these things will be reviewed each and every year, hopefully by every entity, both staff and utilities. I don't know if that helps, but that's my thought.
You know, Mr. Islov, as always, I mean, you're dead on target. I just think historical perspective is really helpful here. And people were talking about how energy efficiency was what was going to be the new way of doing business for this country in the 1970s. And this commission is a prime example of a governmental entity that believed that for a number of years, and then for a decade or two after that, efficiency was not a priority. And we can say that this is the kind of thing that we're going to be analyzing every single year, but the bottom line is we kind of forgot about it for 20 years. I mean, with that historical perspective in mind, I mean, any other thoughts?
Yeah, I understand what you're saying. We kind of forgot about it. But in the meantime, you know, when this act was originally, when I say the whole PURPA matter and the National Energy Act was passed in 78, it necessitated a whole lot of changes on the part of the commissions and the manufacturers and the consumers. And I don't know if it was so much forgotten, although I understand your point with regard to specific programs, but we went from 50% efficient furnaces up to plus 90% furnaces, and the bulk of the gas, at least in this part of the country, was used for space heating, and the same thing with the water heating appliances. And if you'll look at the trend of usage per customer, even though we know houses are expanding on a per family basis, when I first started, I believe the average annual consumption for space and water heating was around 110 MCF per year. I think the latest I looked at, we're down around 80. And I think that just didn't happen overnight. It's been continuing. Now, I understand your point as far as the programs are concerned. But, frankly, it's trying to get value from those programs. And certainly, with a whole push on CO2 issues, there's been a whole new refocus, which I guess the focus on CO2 just didn't exist in that 20-year period. Nonetheless, I do believe efficiency happened simply because that was the direction everyone was going with building homes and building appliances. I understand your point. I think it's just been a refocus in large part because of the CO2 issue.
Clearly, you know, yes, there were macro issues on the global and national and industry level that were making, on natural gas, not necessarily electricity to the same extent, but we're making homes using less natural gas than they were in, say, you know, 1980 or 85. I just think for much of the last couple of decades, the commission's kind of been on the sidelines of those conversations. Now, maybe with good reason. I mean, I don't want to damn any past decisions by past commissions, because, I mean, I wasn't there. I mean, I don't know the facts set with them. But it does seem to me that even if the CO2 issue were to go away tomorrow, totally disappear, that I would still want the commission to be involved and in energy efficiency and have energy efficiency be a priority resource. And I think making that clear to everybody is not without some value.
Commissioner, if I could add one thing, I think you're right. in a lot of ways, we did try doing things 25 years ago and 20 years ago and without a lot of success. But frankly, there were a lot of problems. We really didn't know how to publicize them. We didn't know how to measure savings. And I think, at least for the decade of the 90s and early 2000s, the industry has advanced so much in the energy efficiency arena, where I think we have considerably more comfort in the programs doing what we intended them to do and being cost effective in ways of measuring that perhaps didn't exist. Maybe I could call that, that initial perhaps failure of the early energy efficiency plans to be cost effective. There's been an incubation in the industry and frankly evolving toward, I guess, programs that can be determined to be effective by commissions. And I think we've reached that point where there was just a growth in the knowledge of the industry. I know that's a very general answer, but frankly, we weren't very comfortable with what happened 20 years ago simply because it was so haphazard. I feel we're past that now. I think we're at a point where we can truly get into this, spend our money, and know there are going to be benefits to the customers from engaging in these programs.
Anything else? If not, I think that will close the hearing. Thank you.